live from the downtown studio. The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, let's get our Flames Talk postgame show underway on this Sunday night. The Flames open up the preseason with a 6-1 win on the road in Seattle. Lots to like in preseason game number one, and certainly knowing it's a preseason game, you can definitely take away a lot of positive things for Calgary. Individual performances, the team commitment, the way they played. Let's get into as much of it as we can, as we head back to Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington. Megan Mickelson standing by for a few minutes with us. Mick, just from the get-go, you could tell the Flames had a little bit of a burr in their saddle. You could tell this looked like a team with a lot of bubble players trying to make an impression, and that kind of shone through all night long, didn't it?
Well, one of the words that we've heard often in training camp has been compete. It's a team that, you know, there's a lot on the line for a lot of guys in this training camp. And you saw tonight that this was a group that they came to work. Like, they played hard. The details in their game, the effort on second pucks, you see it all over the ice. It's a group that you could tell guys they're fighting for jobs. There's a lot on the line. And it was just a great effort from start to finish from Dustin Wolf, the back end, all the way out. Just, you know, they played the right way, as Ryan Huska said, and it was a great effort by the group who, coming into this game and looking at the lineups, we talked about it on the broadcast, you wouldn't have expected them to win this game, you know, 6-1 in the way that they did, but did the little things right, and they were rewarded for it.
I thought Dustin Wolf from, you talked about the goaltending out, thought he was absolutely in the zone from the start of this game. He lets in the one goal on the high quality one-time opportunity from the right circle on the giveaway. But other than that, he was perfect tonight, Mick. If you're, we're going to be talking about this goaltending situation with Wolf, Dan Vladar, and Dustin Cooley all preseason, all training camp, and probably for a good chunk of the regular season as it works itself out. But the first look for one of those three guys, nothing but check marks for Dustin Wolf tonight.
Yeah, and for me, what I saw, like, in my opinion, he was playing very confidently.
Yeah.
At the end of the season last year, I think he even took it up another level, and there was a noticeable difference from what I saw in his game tonight. Just really consistent right from start to finish. Didn't look like he, you know, faltered or had any misplays. Really, there might have been one on one of his puck plays where it didn't end up going the way that he wanted to. Bobbled the puck a little bit, but outside of that, I mean, that's being nitpicky. Like, he was, to me, there's a noticeable difference in his game. And, you know, I know it's the preseason, you take it with a grain of salt, obviously, but I mean, if that's the way that he's going to play, no matter, you know, who they're playing against, preseason, regular season, whatever it is, that was a great start for Dustin Wolf and something that he's going to want to build off of.
It was about a year ago, Mick. It's funny, the first game that you called was, remind me, I think it was 10-0 was the final score, the preseason opener against Vancouver last year. But Matt Coronato was the guy we were all talking about coming out of that 10-0 win, and it started off a great preseason and training camp for him. And he ended up making the team out of camp. Well, doesn't come away with a hat trick tonight in this preseason opener, but does score a goal and picks up two really pretty assists. That's for a guy who maybe is starting on the ghost depth chart on the outside looking in. They're written in pencil for a reason, and Matt Coronato did everything he could in preseason game number one to start making some decisions difficult, didn't he?
Yeah, he was another guy that was a noticeable difference and just his presence on the ice. And one thing last year, you know, I mean, we saw a great shot. He can shoot, he can score, he can make plays. But it was his play away from the puck that oftentimes, yes, his work ethic was always there, but it was his positioning and decision making and ensuring that he wasn't turning the puck over in the neutral zone or on the half wall in the defensive zone. So that area of his game tonight was, you know, it's not just the points from my standpoint, but it's also the way that he played away from the puck and the decisions that he made in terms of being a responsible player on the ice and a guy that, you know, you can put out there and really trust to make the right plays at the right time. So I thought that that part of his game really impressed me as well.
Just before we let you bounce, time to select a hardest working Flame in a 6-1 win over Seattle to open the preseason. Mick, who's your hardest working Flame tonight?
Oh, this is a tough one. I mean, a lot of guys with, you know, multi-point outings, but I really think that Braden Pahal had a very strong game, and he set the tone very early on with his physical play. So, I mean, just, you know, not super flashy, not a bag of points or anything like that, but that's a part of the game that you really set the tone for your team. And I thought that he did that really well, had an A on his jersey too. So, you know, that leadership was there from him. Obviously, if the coaching staff's going to put a letter on your jersey, but just really loved his physical play out there tonight.
With a little more than 20 minutes and 8 hits plus 3, Braden Pahal, your hardest working Flame tonight. Thanks, Mick. We'll see you back in Calgary.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson signing off on our Flames Talk postgame show following a Flames 6-1 win over the Seattle Kraken tonight. Hey, it's your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And for the first time this year, I can say the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. If you want to jump in and chat some Flames preseason hockey, hey, there's always something to talk about. If you're talking about camp battles, what you saw tonight, what things might look like come the start of the regular season, and a whole lot more, call now, 403-240-4444. Text line wide open as well, 960-960. We're here for the next little while. Flames Talk postgame is underway on this Sunday night. Our marquee matchup tonight brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. We were focusing in on Zane Parekh and Hunter Brustevich, and give you the final numbers on both of those guys. First of all, on Brustevich, he had 2 assists and was plus 2, played 19 minutes and 47 seconds, had 1 shot attempt, 3 block shots, 1 takeaway. And Zane Parekh, wearing number 89 tonight, Parekh played 18:41, had 4 attempts, all things considered, 2 takeaways, 1 block shot for Zane Parekh tonight. I thought Brustevich was the guy that stood out the most on Calgary's blue line. Him and Grishnikov were the two that stood out the most for me, just because we were talking about two a little bit more, I don't know, guys that are a little bit closer maybe to knocking on the door to the NHL. But Brustevich and Zane Parekh are two defensemen that are right near the top of the top prospect list for the Flames, right? And so Brustevich and Parekh were our pregame focus on the marquee matchup. I thought Brustevich looked really good away from the puck. He definitely has a ton of poise with it on his stick in all three zones. He delays nicely in his own end to buy himself that extra half second to make a good outlet. He's good through the neutral zone and a ton of poise walking the line and moving the puck around on the offensive zone. As for Parekh, I think you saw some struggles. You saw a couple of, you know, puck management decisions that weren't the most advised, but you also saw some really good. Megan talked a little bit about it in the broadcast tonight, how good he is, how almost NHL level he is in terms of exiting the zone and getting pucks quickly out of the defensive zone, and how quickly and how strong his first pass is. And also, you saw in the post that he hit, I said this in Penticton, and I'll say it again right now, this guy's ability to get pucks through traffic towards the net is elite and already at an NHL level. He's got a great release. I think his shot, both from a velocity standpoint and how difficult it is to kind of judge off the stick, and also his ability to get it through traffic, I think Zane Parekh's shot is already at NHL level as well. There's a lot of other things that he'll have to work on to get it to NHL level as well. For him to be ready for the NHL, don't know if he'll be able to get those things to the level they need to be in this training camp, but I thought a pretty promising start for him. So Zane Parekh, Hunter Brustevich were the focuses of our marquee matchup tonight, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. The 2024 Toyota truck clearout is on now at the giant Country Hills Toyota. For a limited time, save $3,000 to $5,000 on every Tundra. It's time to Toyota. 6-1, your final score. Flames open up the preseason with a big win on the road in Seattle. Mick and I talked about Dustin Wolf. That was a real solid thing to see. Thought he was really strong. Matt Coronato was the guy who stood out the most for me. We talked about Hunter Brustevich, who I think just continues to put himself in the conversation to, you know what, maybe be there by the end. Maybe make it difficult on Craig Conroy and company in terms of who starts the season with the team. Look, if Hunter Brustevich or another guy, but let's talk about Brustevich because I thought he played really well in a little less than 20 minutes tonight. If Hunter Brustevich makes it to the Flames, decide not to sign Tyson Barrie, with no disrespect intended to Barrie at all, that's a good thing. You'd much rather have your 20-year-old make the team than sign the veteran on the PTO. So that's what Brustevich is trying to do. He's trying to win a third pairing right side job out of camp, and certainly what he did tonight in his first ever NHL preseason game, that was impressive. One other standout that I wanted to point out in terms of a guy on the bubble, and that was Sam Honzek. I don't know where this Sam Honzek was in Penticton. He looked good at times, had a couple at the middle game. He was good. The final game, he was either invisible, but then once he made the switch to center, he was better. But tonight, I thought Honzek did all the things that you were, that you're looking for. He drove the net. He used his kind of power and strength to drive the net. He was really poised, entering the zone on the wing, did a nice job with the puck on his stick, moving it to dangerous areas, and his net drives created opportunities. His net drive on the second Adam Klapka goal was the thing that caused that to make it 5-1, and he was the guy that started off the 3-0 goal by a nice entry with speed on the right side, found Clark Bishop on the other side in the left circle, and then Bishop found Klapka to make it 3-0 at the time. So Sam Honzek, one other name I wanted to pinpoint in this game tonight. Flames win it 6-1 to open up the preseason. Now, I say all this, and again, I say this not to insult your intelligence if you're listening, or anybody else's intelligence, because I think we all know, but I say this just to remind myself, it is game one of the preseason, and so we have to take everything with that game one preseason grain of salt. The Flames have had great preseasons before, we've seen great individual preseason performances, and it has meant absolutely nothing in the regular season, and we've seen it go the other way. I've seen the Flames have horrible preseasons where they've got beaten by quote-unquote much worse teams, and they've ended up having really strong regular seasons. So I just, what I think's important is the evaluation of the individual players, and I think all we have right now is 60 minutes on ice from Seattle, but we're going to see the level of play ramp up as the preseason goes along. Good first game for a lot of guys, a lot of positives in the first 60 minutes. Let's see where it goes from there. My name is Pat Steinberg. We are underway on your Flames Talk postgame show tonight. Text line open, 96960. Phone lines open at 403-240-4444. Lots still to get to as we continue along on a Sunday night. Call now, text now, Flames Talk postgame, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the downtown studio on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Your final score from Seattle tonight. The Flames open the preseason with a 6-1 win over the Seattle Kraken. Nice way to kick off the preseason for the Flames. Some solid individual performances and some good things to take away. The Flames will continue their preseason with a couple of games on Monday. Split squad game against the Edmonton Oilers. We'll have the coverage of the game from the Scotiabank Saddledome, and that's the one we'll be focused on. But two games on Monday, one in Edmonton, one in Calgary. Both of them are 7 o'clock starts, and that'll be your next Flames Talk postgame show. But this is your Flames Talk postgame with the phone lines open, 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960 on this Sunday night. Your phone calls and your texts here coming up very, very shortly. It's good to be back on Flames Talk postgame, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. 8 preseason games, and then off to the regular season when the Flames open up on the road in Vancouver. Okay, it's time to go from the Flames dressing room. Brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Derek Wills in conversation with two-goal scorer Adam Klapka right now.
Adam, thanks for joining us. Your thoughts on what was a very impressive 6-1 victory for the Flames over the Kraken tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we listen to our coaches. We did the simple things and play hard, and the rest of this, what is it, right?
Yeah, but you play the right way, and chances are you're going to get rewarded more often than not. And I thought you played a really strong game tonight. Two goals. If you could do a little play-by-play and describe them for us.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal was pretty solid play from all of us on the ice. I mean, we scored how we practice back home. So we just did he did the rush, and Bish find me with a really nice pass to the back door. And the second one, I like Honzi took to the puck to the net, and I was just driving to the net and find the open puck and just put it behind the goalie.
Another guy who had a really strong game tonight was Clark Bishop. You probably know him a little bit better than we do. I'm guessing you weren't surprised to see him with a goal and an assist tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Clark is awesome guy. He's awesome player. He's really good centerman. So I'm really happy that I could play with him today.
Last one for you, Adam. Game 1 of 8 for the Flames in the preseason versus the Kraken tonight. And you're one of the guys that's fighting for a spot on this team. Obviously, you get off to a great start playing a fantastic game and scoring a couple of goals against the Kraken. But as you look forward to the rest of training camp and the rest of the preseason, what do you think you're going to have to do to earn a spot in the opening night lineup?
Yeah, I mean, just I try to go practice by practice, day by day, and I know what game I have to play, so I just focusing on this and try work hard every practice and every time when I'm on the ice or off the ice.
Well, Adam, congratulations on 2 preseason goals and 2 preseason points. Thanks for doing this, and I'm not sure whether or not you're in against the Oilers tomorrow, but if you are, good luck. If not, good luck next time we see you on the ice for the Flames.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
2 goals for Adam Klapka, and he's our guest from the dressing room post-game following a 6-1 win in Seattle. From the dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. Dustin Wolf got the start in net tonight, and he was really strong. Allowed just the 1 goal, and that was off the Zane Parekh giveaway that led to a really strong one-timer opportunity for Nathan Villeneuve. That was the only goal that Seattle scored in this game and the only blemish on Dustin Wolf, but I thought he was dialed right from the get-go on this Sunday night. It's time for the save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes, and Dustin Wolf's save of the game comes in period at number 2.
And now the puck comes free for Cartier, who skates it down the ice. Cartier drops it off to Wright. Shane Wright shoots. It's stopped by Dustin Wolf. Big rebound picked up by Jordan Eberle, who centers it, and whacking and hacking away is Cartier, and Wolf keeps it out. And now we've got a pile up.
That ends up being one of the 32 stops made by Dustin Wolf. So 32 stops for number 32. And that's his save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. Look, the Flames will be talking about goaltending, or maybe the Flames won't. You and I will probably be talking about goaltending throughout the entire preseason and training camp. And probably the goaltending conversations aren't going to end as we move into the regular season. I mean, we're probably going to be talking about this for a good chunk of the year until somebody establishes themselves as the guy, or it becomes established that this is a tandem, or what, or somebody gets traded, or somebody gets hurt, or whatever the case may be. That's probably going to be the case, because this is such a wide open conversation. There are 3 guys that have legitimate eyes on NHL playing time this year, but for Dustin Wolf, who I think it's safe to say is the guy that Flames fans are most excited about, and the guy that I think both the organization and many Flames fans have the most long-term faith in, or the most long-term hope in. Really good start for Dustin Wolf. Thought he was strong from the minute go. When it was all said and done, final high danger scoring chances favored Seattle 11-9 at 5-on-5 and 13-12 overall. But I thought Dustin Wolf was at his very best in the second period when the Kraken had an 8-2 high danger scoring chances edge, and Wolf had to be really, really strong, and he made everything look easy. And that's when you know any goaltender, but specifically Dustin, because he is so smart, because that hockey IQ is so high, because he reads the game at the level that he does. Well, because of that, when he, you know that he's on it, you know that he's on his game when he's making everything look easy like he did tonight in Seattle. That's a real positive start for Dustin and something he can absolutely carry into his next start. Monday, I'm guessing we'll see both Vladar and Cooley get action. Maybe go Cooley in Edmonton and Vladar against the Oilers at home. That would be my guess, but won't know for sure until a little bit later on tonight or into Monday morning. But two games on Monday against the Oilers in split squad action. Okay, let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. Phone lines are open at 403-240-044 as well. Let's start with Kieran, who says, thought the Flames played great. Just wondering how you thought Dustin Wolf played and Adam Klapka's game. Well, I liked, we just talked about Wolf, so I inadvertently answered your question there, Kieran, before we got there. Thought he played really, really well. As for Klapka, was he one of my biggest standouts? Not necessarily, but did score the two goals. And what I liked about Klapka all night, whether it was power play or 5-on-5, he just went to the net. And that's going to be Klapka's calling card if full-time NHL work is ever in his future. We've seen him get into a few games. We've seen him play a few times in the NHL. So we know that is, you know, something that is close for him and that he's all around it. But him going hard to the front of the net and him being a real difficult body to move in that area is going to be his biggest calling card and his biggest key if he's going to be an NHL or full-time. And I thought he did that tonight and did so well. Cody says, I've seen enough. Rebuild's over. The Cup's ours and Klapka's taken us there. In all seriousness, though, that was a fun watch, especially seeing Coronado's energy. Great to finally hear all your lovely voices again, crew. That comes from Cody. Ash says, looking forward to another season of texting the post-game show. In terms of the forwards in tonight's game, I thought Coronado and Klapka were solid. However, despite their performance, I can't see how either player can make the opening night roster with their waiver-exempt statuses and Pelche's waiver-eligible status. In your opinion, is there a way for either player to make the opening night roster, assuming no trades? Finally, I also believe that if Barry is signed to a contract, Pahal, who's also a righty, will end up being the seventh D-man, which I think could hinder his confidence and progression. Your thoughts? Okay, first on the forward front, I understand why you asked that, Ash, because you take a look at things and, yeah, there's not necessarily, you know, this glaring hole for a guy like Coronado to fit in and play. First thing to remember is that the Flames have zero cap worries, so they can carry the full 23. They don't need to be in a situation where they're carrying 21 or 22. The Flames will be banking so much cap space on a daily basis, it does not matter how many guys they have on their active roster. That's how much cap space they have. So in saying that, they'll have the option to rotate more guys in than perhaps they have in more recent years when they've been a little bit tighter to the cap. So that's a way that Coronado could, for instance, like, I don't think Klapka's got a great shot of being on the opening night roster. Unfortunately, I think, you know, the betting odds would be heavily favored in Klapka starting in the American League. They'd be less favored for Coronado. I still think Coronado's got a slight uphill climb, but I think it is a makeable uphill climb that he did a lot of good work to start in the right direction tonight against Seattle. Because Pelche is waiver eligible, yes, I think Pelche will be on the opening night roster. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Coronado couldn't also be on the opening night roster and Coronado couldn't be in the opening night lineup. I mean, Again, I think Pelche will be on the 23-man roster as one of the 13, 14 forwards, but could easily be 13 or 14 if his camp isn't great, whereas if Coronado's one of the 12 best forwards in camp, I think he'll be in the lineup. And one of the good things is that you've got the ability, like Kevin Rooney does not have an automatic spot in the lineup, right? So there's another guy that, you know, maybe ends up as a 13th, 14th forward if that ends up being the case because Coronado plays so well. They've got options with having a player like Pospisil or a player like Zeri be your fourth line center if that's the way that it ends up going. There are a lot of options, and I firmly believe that if Matt Coronado is one of the 12 best forwards, or in his case probably needs to be one of the 9 best forwards, I think they will find room for him in the starting 9 on opening night in Vancouver. So while I understand the worry, just because you take a look at the names and how many guys are in camp, so on and so forth, I still think that they'll make it happen some way or another. They've already proven they're willing to do that. The other thing is injuries will happen as training camp and the preseason goes on. It's very rare for the Flames or any other team to be fully healthy going into the start of the regular season. That also, I think, needs to be taken into account. As for Barry, yeah, I think Pahal would be a guy that might be pushed out if Barry ends up getting signed. Brustevich, look, my contention is Tyson Barry only gets signed if the Flames are like, hey, we need another veteran guy on the right side because nobody has jumped up and grabbed that number 3 right side defense spot. So if Pahal, who had 8 hits in this game, if Pahal does it, then and Pahal proves that he's clearly the best fit as the number 3 right side D, then I don't know if they sign Barry. Same with Brustevich. So again, Ash, I get what you're saying, but I still think it's a pretty wide open conversation. This from Evan in Calgary says, the cupboards look full. Young guys are looking great and hungry. I think these guys can do some damage this year. Don't sleep on the Flames. You know, am I ready to say the Flames are going to be the surprise team of 24-25 based on one preseason game? No, I'm probably not there, but I did like a lot of what we saw in this game tonight. Jimmy in Douglasdale says, the way they played, I'd send that team right to Edmonton for tomorrow's game. Let Wolf play if he feels up to it, or send Vladar. This from Alex. Coronado was a beast tonight and looked dynamic. I think Brustevich will start the season in the American League, but I think he'll be up with the club in no time and he'll stick around the rest of the season. Really excited to see what he can turn into. You know, and if he does end up starting with the Wranglers, that's okay. I mean, I remember multiple years over the last 10, 15, where a guy's looked really good in training camp, has started in the American League, and then very quickly gets the recall and stays all season. I think of TJ Brody. I think of who else do I think of? I think of Josh Juris about a decade ago, or I think of Connor Zeri last year. Zeri was one of the real standouts at training camp last year and didn't start in the NHL, took about a month, and then he was in 3 weeks or whatever it was, early November, and then he was in, didn't go back to the American League. So I guess what I would say is don't panic if a guy you think looks really good through training camp in the preseason doesn't start in the NHL, starts in the American League. That doesn't mean the team isn't still working on trying to get them there. Sometimes the timeline just is a little bit longer than the 3 weeks of training camp ends up allowing. And one more text before we hit the phone lines for the first time. Gary says, who's this Clark Bishop guy? He did not look out of place. And that's not a surprise. Clark Bishop is a seasoned pro. He's one of the good newfies playing pro hockey. Clark Bishop is the pride of St. John's, Newfoundland. He's got 47 NHL games under his belt with Carolina and Ottawa. You know, he's probably of that quad A or kind of tweener variety at the age of 28 now, but if you need a guy to step in as kind of a number 4 center or a fourth line winger who can play really good both ways, Bishop's a guy they absolutely might look at. I know assistant GM and VP of hockey ops Brad Pascal's a huge fan of Clark Bishop. So again, wouldn't be a massive surprise if at some point if they need a recall this season, Bishop might make his Flames debut. Great stuff so far on the text line at 960-960. Now let's get to the phone lines for the first time tonight. 403-240-4444. It's your Flames Talk postgame show. Steinberg back with you for another year. The 24-25 Flames Talk postgame is back with you. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And it just wouldn't be right if we didn't start off our first Flames Talk postgame by saying hello to anyone other than George. George is consistent as they come, and for another year is kicking us off. What's up, my friend?
Not much, man. It's so good to hear your voice. And I'll say this, first game of the preseason, but you, my friend, are in regular season form already.
Well, trying to, and so is your phone. Your phone is in peak garbage midseason form, George. You know, you're consistent, and I love you to death. Your phone is not consistent. That is, but you know what? I love it. I can understand you just fine. I just needed to throw that jab at you because it's an ongoing joke. So hit me. What'd you see tonight, my friend?
You know, I know, again, it's a preseason game, so we're not going to get too excited or anything like that. But I had a lot of fun watching it. The exuberant youth was great, seeing all these new prospects. It's awesome to see all these people we recently drafted last draft. That's a lot of fun. That's something for me that I'm very excited about. And Megan Mickelson and Mr. Wills said it too. Like you could have picked six or seven Flames as stars tonight. They looked really good as a team playing against a more veteran-laden Seattle Kraken team. And I thought Coronado was absolutely dominant tonight. And he really impressed me more with his smart plays and his playmaking ability. We always know him as more of a goal scorer, but tonight he was extremely dynamic.
I love those two passes he made when he got primary assists on the primary assist on the Poirier goal, and then the primary on the Martin Furk last goal of the game. One of them, I wasn't even joking when I said that. You don't usually see backhand passes that on the money and that hard unless they're coming off of 29 in Edmonton. Like, Leon Draisaitl is the greatest backhand passer maybe I've ever seen. But Matt Coronado fired that thing as if he was channeling Draisaitl. Like, that thing was on the money, was hard, had perfect sauce on it, and right onto the stick of Poirier, who, good on JP, Jeremy Poirier, who absolutely wired it to make it 4-0 at the time. So that was a pass. I was like, whoa, that was 27 who made that pass. And then a real nice touch pass on the Furk goal to make it 6-1. So he was around the net and scored the goal to make it 2-0. And then two really pretty primary assists. And again, I go back to a year ago, game one of the preseason, Matt Coronado was the guy we were talking about and the best player on the ice. 1 year later, he's the guy that we're talking about and probably was the best guy on the ice again. So that's a real positive for a guy who is fighting for an NHL job out of camp and who's feeling really good about the way his summer went and how he's feeling coming into camp.
Very true, and it's one game again. But if he is going to make the opening night lineup, he absolutely will earn it. That's for damn sure. So good on him. I thought Klapka really stood out. I've always loved the way he uses his size. And, you know, he's caught flack a lot, especially even like during the rookie games, which I didn't understand. But Sam Hanzik looked like real good today. I was very impressed with him.
Yeah, that's what you wanted to see if you're the Flames. I was talking to a couple of Flames folks who were watching as well, and I know that Hanzek, Brustevich, Wolf, Coronado, those were kind of the four guys that some of the Flames hockey eyes I was conversing with throughout the game had their eyes on and who they really liked. So that's a nice start for all four of those guys. And for Hanzek, yeah, I mean, what you liked about him was that he used his speed well. He used his strength well. He lowered his shoulder and didn't really show any fear going towards the front of the net. Like, that's how Sam Hanzek is going to be successful. He probably starts the year with the Wranglers. He's eligible to play pro for the first time to start a year. That's most likely where he starts, but keep doing that stuff with the Wranglers and you'll earn yourself an NHL recall at some point. So nice start for Sam Hanzek. That was a real positive too.
Absolutely. A final observation, and I'll let you move on to other callers, but I also really like Grushnikov tonight. I really like the mix of defensemen we have in the organization right now. We have a nice mix of offensive D-men, defensive D-men, and even two-way D-men, and you need that mix. You know, you can't have guys, you can't have a bunch of Rustaviches, you can't have a bunch of Zane Pereks, for example, right? You have to have that balance, and he's a guy I know we got from the Chris Tanev trade, and I know that he gets compared to Tanev, Tanev-like because of the style that he plays.
Which
but
probably
I really like
isn't fair. I mean, Chris Tanev is...
It's not.
Chris Tanev is such a unicorn defenseman to even think about comparing Grushnikov or anybody else to him is probably unfair, but I think the reason that the comparisons happen are because, like Tanev, Grushnikov's a good skating but more defensively slanted defender, but different type of guy. I mean, Tanev plays a really physical brand. Grushnikov, not quite as physical. I think Tanev has a... Even Tanev at Grushnikov's age had a significant edge in how well he handled the puck. I mean, that's the one area that Grushnikov has a lot of work to do is when the puck's on his stick. I quite like him away from the puck and the way he angles and the way he defends. Not a big physical guy, but still defends really well. But, you know, Tanev's first pass and Tanev's ability to leave the zone and outlet and so on and so forth were borderline elite while he was a member of the Flames, and one of the more underappreciated things about him. We talk about the blocking shots with his face and, you know, putting any limb in the line of fire and how willing he was to take an absolute pounding night in, night out. All those things are quintessential Chris Tanev, but, you know, he is also really good at a lot of those things in a really subtle way. So probably unfair to compare Grushnikov to Tanev, but I'm with you, George. I thought he played pretty well tonight.
For sure, my friend. Hey, thank you for having me on, Patty. I'm looking very forward to talking Flames hockey with you all year this year, and this is just the beginning, and, you know, let's go. Let's try and enjoy this year as much as we can.
Why not? I mean, the expectations are what the expectations are. Doesn't mean we can't enjoy talking some Flames hockey, right, George?
Absolutely, buddy. Hey, and the future looks bright. I really feel that way. I like the direction they're going in, so... Let's get it going, my friend. We'll talk very soon. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it, buddy. Maybe Anderson goes to Edmonton. Uyghur Miromanov play in Calgary. So you'll see probably a little bit less than two-thirds of kind of the opening-ish day lineup for the Flames in the home game. So you'll definitely see far more recognizable names on, recognizable is the wrong word, far more household names on Monday night compared to maybe what you saw tonight against Seattle.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I agree with you. And then, yeah, just wanted to make one final point. Zane Parekh, I don't think I talked right when he was a draft pick, but he's going to be an interesting look for me, especially with a half heritage from India. That makes me proud. So I'm looking forward to how Zane Parekh unfolds throughout the training camp as well. All right, thank you so much, Pat, for the chat. Appreciate it. I'll keep in touch tomorrow after the game. And then looking forward to many more hockey talks with you down the road.
Thanks, Anna. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Yeah, have a good night. Take care.
Phone lines are open at 403-240-4444 on this Sunday night as the Flames take a 6-1 preseason opening win over the Seattle Kraken. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get back to the phone lines very shortly. Keep your texts coming as well at 96960. So the text line open, 96960. Few phone lines open. I get it. It's the preseason, so not always going to be as hot on the phone lines, but you can call now if you want to chat some Flames hockey on a Sunday, 403-240-4444. Let's go back to Seattle, though, get some more post-game reaction from inside the Flames locker room. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska very shortly, but right now, a goal and 3 points from Matt Coronato. He spoke inside the Flames locker room post-game tonight in Seattle.
Yeah, I thought the team did a great job coming out hard, and I think we just did a good job playing the right way. Everyone was working really hard, tracking back hard, and winning battles, and I think it led to success.
Yeah, is that kind of where it started for you, just the pace and the work ethic?
Yeah, I think definitely want to be a team that's one of the hardest working teams, and I think this group showed that we could do that. I thought we did well in the battles, and we're really hard on pucks tonight.
T- to score three goals in the first period as a unit and just kind of the way you carried it through. I mean, obviously it starts off like that really well. You know, what did you see just in the first period and to be able to capitalize on a few of them like that?
I thought guys did a good job going to the net. A couple of guys got rewarded for that, but overall I think it's more of the same, just sticking to the right way to play, the way that the coaches and the staff have been preaching for the last couple of days. I think we did a good job executing that.
Last assist there, kind of when Martin found him back door there, just the way that kind of worked its way up ice. I think it was Hunter that found you kind of through the neutral zone, but just maybe take us through what that one looked like.
Yeah, Hunter made a couple great passes all night long. He definitely sees it really well. A bunch of guys made some really good plays. He kind of found me streaking through the neutral zone, and Fricky was wide open, kind of back door. So, like I said, a bunch of guys made a lot of great plays. It was a fun game.
How does this set, a number of the younger guys? Obviously, it was a younger lineup for you, but to come in there and show like this, how does it set up the rest of camp now for you guys to kind of build on that?
I think it's a great way to start it off. Good for guys to kind of get their feet wet, get the first one. It's nice, and I think everyone should be happy with the way it went tonight.
That is Matt Coronato, a little post-game reaction from Seattle. Goal and 3 points for number 27 tonight. Nice start to his preseason as Matt tries to make the team out of training camp. He did so last year and off to a nice start. Going to have to keep it going. As of right now, probably an uphill climb. I think it's a less steep uphill climb than it would be for others on the outside looking in, but probably safe to say that Matt Coronato starting training camp penciled in on the outside. And as Ryan Huska said about him, Jacob Pelche, Hunter Brustevich, and some other names, they're going to have to prove that they are taking somebody else's job, which is not impossible. And again, a really nice start for Matt Coronato to get that going. Goal and 3 points in this one tonight. It's time to select tonight's adjustment of the game. Welcome back to the adjustment of the game, powered by Equus. And the adjustment of the game tonight, whatever Sam Honzek has done in the last week since the Young Stars Classic into what we saw tonight, if you're the Flames, you'll take it. Honzek, 2 assists, plus 2 in 17 minutes and 41 seconds of ice time tonight in Seattle. Had 1 shot, 2 attempts, 3 hits in the win. And Honzek's net drives and Honzek's overall work in this game led to a couple of goals. He had a really nice secondary assist on the 3-0 goal and a really nice net drive on the 5-1 goal to really set things up. Honzek was kind of up and down at the Young Stars Classic in Penticton, but was really good tonight in this win over Seattle. So I thought whatever Sam Honzek did from Monday and the Young Stars closer to 6 days later on this Sunday night in Seattle, you'll take it if you're the Flames for your 2023 first-round pick. That is your adjustment of the game, and the adjustment of the game is brought to you by and powered by Equus, delivering power to co-op members throughout Alberta. Choose community. Choose Equus. It's Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk post-game show. Phone lines open still at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. More of your calls, more of your texts. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska and a whole lot more as we continue along. Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. 403-240-4444 is your phone number if you want to chat on our first Flames Talk postgame, first real Flames Talk postgame of the year. Preseason game number one in the books. Flames win it 6-1 over the Seattle Kraken. Let's say hello to Parsons on this Sunday night. What's going on, Pars? Good to hear from you, buddy.
Hey, how was your summer?
Good, man. How about yours?
It was good, man. It was good. Good to be back. Good to hear from you. Before I get into the game and everything, I just wanted to say rest in peace, Mr. Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, that was not expected. But anyways, on to the game. I thought that was a pretty well-coached game, actually. It was pretty interesting to see a bunch of our younger fellows up against a more you know, experienced Seattle team, and we just looked really well coached, and I think that's also attributed to the players that we got too, that are, you know, our prospect pool is getting better. You know what I mean?
Well, and you had a lot of guys who were kind of, if you were to take a look at most of the players on this Flames roster tonight, most of them would be of that, you know, bubble player variety, or guys that don't have a guaranteed NHL spot. And that can be a pretty powerful thing in a preseason game, right? So I think that played into it. I think that the coaching staff did a nice job of putting guys in not so much positions to succeed, but positions to, you know, really be challenged. And I thought that was really neat to see. And here's the other thing that I think needs to be pointed out when it comes to what we saw tonight is that, you know, every year you talk about the type of jump or the type of intensity or how hard practices are during training camp. But, you know, I've been to the last like 15 the Calgary Flames have had, and I can only remember a few that have been this intense or the pace has been this high to start things off immediately. And I think that also may be an important part of, you know, why we saw the Flames get off to the start we saw them get off to tonight, and how I they caught Seattle a little bit by surprise. Like, here's a young group that did not have the sexiest roster, and yet they kind of had things going pretty well right from the get-go. And I think that pace and the way training camp has gone is a potential, that could be anyway, a potential reason why as well. So they looked really good tonight. Good start for them. And now something to carry over into the final seven preseason games.
Absolutely. And I thought Wolf, you know, he was tracking well tonight. He had a brilliant game. I think he's the first guy to put his foot down, make his first stamp as to, you know what I'm saying? I thought Clark Bishop also had a really good game. I'm interested about this guy. Like, I know he's a tweener and he's like 28 years old, but.
Well, he doesn't have to be a tweener, right? Like, that doesn't have to be what he is, but that's been what he's been for the most part throughout his career. But who knows? I mean, things can change, right?
Well, it's interesting because he's 28 years old, so he's an interesting guy, but I thought he had a great game. Like, a lot of guys, like Klapka, I'm rooting for this guy. Like, you know, he had a great game, and Pahal and Grushnikov, I thought, had an outstanding game, and Coronado and Brustevich. Like, our defense corps going forward is looking very well, and I'm not even mentioning Poirier or, you know what I mean? So it's interesting. I'm very happy. Like, our guys did really well tonight. And these are a lot of Coronado was just awesome tonight too. So I'm very excited about the future. Like, a couple more years of higher draft picks and everything like that. Like, wow. Like, this is going to be interesting going forward, my friend.
It's got that potential for sure, Parson. Well, you know, it's been a nice last couple years in terms of building up this prospect group, and showed some good things tonight for sure.
Just one quick thing before I go. What's your thoughts on Pelche and how he fits in on this team, and where do you think he will fit in this year?
Well, I think that the best place for him to fit in will be on the fourth line to start. If he can earn a spot as one of the 12 best forwards and maybe start on a line with Lomberg and Rooney or something like that, that to me is where I see it kind of starting with anyway.
Okay.
And I think that that's okay. Like, I know that he's a former first round pick, and I know that there's high hopes for him, and for good reason there's high hopes for him. But The way Pelche's game profiles and the way that he plays, I don't think starting on an effective fourth line is the worst thing for him. And I always go back to the Andrew Mangiapane comparison, that Mangiapane started on the fourth line as well and turned into a 20-goal scorer, 30-goal scorer 1 year. So if you're if you're a two-way guy, which Pelche is, I think being on an effective fourth line with, you know, like a Rooney and a Lomberg or something like that, I don't think that's the worst thing for him, especially knowing that for the first time, he does have to clear waivers.
Okay. And I thought, sorry, one more last thing.
Oh, yeah, no problem. We got nowhere to be.
Oh, okay. Martin Furk, I thought, was an interesting signing, and I thought he had a really good game today. And he looks to be very defensively responsible out there. And I know he's got a shot, too. Like, he's got a heck of a shot. He's an interesting character to me. What are your thoughts on that guy?
I think he's probably an AHL guy to start. He's the type of guy that I think if he's able to go and have the same type of American League season he had a couple of years ago, he'd be a guy who could get a recall. He's got a little more than 100 games of NHL experience under his belt. He's been a very productive American leaguer and has been essentially a point per game guy in the American League over the last little bit. But I kind of see him similar to Bishop in that he probably is at the age of 30, probably a little bit more as a tweener. It turns 31 in a couple of weeks. So do I see him being a full-time NHLer? No. Do I see him being a potential nice depth guy with a right shot? Yeah, I mean, there's some potential there for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call, buddy. I love Brustevich. I thought he had a great game today as well. And, the future looks good, man. Like a couple more decent draft picks and we're well on our way. And I love the goalie position. I think Wolfie, like I said before, he made his first stamp tonight. So yep. Good on him.
Now
so
it's you have a now good, it's time for the other two to answer, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Cooley and Vladdy. Let's get it going.
Thanks, Parse. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Same here, bud.
Let's take one more call before we jump inside the Flames locker room, get some more post-game reaction to a preseason opener win. 6-1 your final score. Flames win on the road in Seattle. Ed is with us. What's up, buddy?
Good evening, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. How was your summer?
It was a good summer. It was a really good summer. How about yours?
Yeah, mine was good too. I was back in India home for a month and then I came back and then back to the grind now, working and all that. So, yeah, it was a fun summer overall. First of all, tributes and prayers to the Johnny Goodrow family, Johnny and Matthew Goodrow. That was really touching, the tribute that the Seattle Kraken did at the beginning. And then all the past few weeks, I actually went down to the Saddle Dome Memorial during the candlelight vigil. And also I did a special assignment for my school. So that was really touching. Good game overall today. Loved the effort. Almost every line showed up to play, including the Pelche, Rooney, Hunt line. Hunt got an assist. Then Stromgren played well as well. He got hit. And then Grushnikov went and stepped in for Stromgren. My couple questions for you. So first one, out of Schwint, Morten, and the other... Schwint, Morten, and Bishop, do you think any one of them will get an opportunity down in the NHL lineup to start as a center?
To start the season?
Or even down the road, like maybe 10 games passed or 15 games passed?
I think at least one of those guys, if not multiple of those guys, could absolutely be in the mix. I don't think, unless there are injuries, I don't think we see any one of those three guys, Sam Morton, Cole Schwint, and Clark Bishop. I don't think any one of those three guys starts the year on the NHL team, unless we see a few injuries, which could always happen. But I do think that at least two, even all three of those guys could be real interesting recalls, whether it be at center ice or on the wing. Both Bishop and Schwint are able to play the wing as well. And the guy that I think, and the guy that I think they have a real interesting player in is Morton. He was a late season signing out of college, and he's an older guy as well. He played 6 years in college, which you don't usually see, but because of the transfer window and because of COVID and the added eligibility you got, he ended up playing 2 years at Union College, then four more at Minnesota State University, Mankato. So 6 years of college, and so he's 25 years old now, and so... I think they found something here. The way that he skates, his shot, his smarts. I think that they absolutely have found a really interesting player in Morton. So I think any one of those three guys could be in the mix depending on what type of spot opens up. And there's three more really nice depth players in the organization, right? I mean, Bishop and Schwint have been in the organization for a few years now, but you add in Morton as well. It's a nice added piece that if you need them down the road, you know, you've got some potential good options.
Yeah, with all these options, it might be a difficult decision, but yeah, I agree with you. One final question. So I'm going to the game tomorrow here in Calgary. What do you think the lineup will look like? Do you think we can see anybody from today's game in Calgary, or will they stay, go to Edmonton, or what are some thoughts or predictions for tomorrow?
Might be a few guys from this game who play in one of the two games tomorrow. I would suggest there probably would be like four or five guys who played tonight that will also play Monday night in one of the two games. You'll probably see a good chunk of the quote unquote bigger names, not all of them, but I bet you see you probably see the Backlund line and maybe there are three forward lines that we've seen fairly consistently. You've seen the Pospisil line, the Kadri line, and the Backlund line. So I would suggest two of those lines play in Calgary, and one of them plays in Edmonton. You probably see Rasmus Anderson. You probably see Uyghur and Miramana.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues from the downtown studio on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Following a 6-1 Flames win to open up the preseason on the road in Seattle. Welcome back to your Flames Talk postgame show. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Last call for phone calls. If you want to chime in, now's the time to do so at 403-240-4444. Text line open at 960-960. Got a few guys on hold, so we'll get to you very, very shortly. Thanks for hanging on with us. Keep your text coming at 960-960 as well. Lots to like from Calgary's season opening 6-1, preseason opening 6-1 win in Seattle. Let's hear from the head coach. Let's check in with Ryan Huska following preseason win number one.
Well, Coach, obviously you knew and talked about it this morning, a younger group, but how did you feel they handled themselves here?
Really well. I liked the way they played. I thought they played hard and they tried to play with detail like we asked them, and just about throughout the lineup, I thought we had good efforts from our players.
Seemed to kind of carry it through, you know, maybe a couple of pushbacks, but found their kind of legs and pushed right back.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to expect it. They had some good players in the lineup tonight. And when we did kind of cave a little bit, Dustin made some saves for us tonight. So all in all, really happy with the effort from a lot of players.
Yeah, and Adam mentioned it, but have to be pleased with, you know, obviously saw 30 plus shots, I think 33, Dustin, but just the way he handled himself.
For sure. Well, I thought he looked calm. After the first couple shots that came at him, I thought he really settled in and looked very calm tonight. So he gave us a good game. I thought, as I mentioned, it was a pretty good start for us.
A couple of young blue liners, as we talked about this morning, and an opportunity. How did you feel that they sort of managed that as it went along here tonight?
First shifts, you can see some nerves, which you would expect. I mean, they had a nice crowd in here tonight, too. So for both of those young guys to look up and see the building and feel the energy in it. After a couple shifts, though, I thought they really settled in. They made some really good plays with the puck. I thought they showed some composure, and pleased with both of them tonight.
I have to ask you about Grushnikov and the physicality that he brings to the game.
He's been that way right from the start of camp, even when you watched him a little bit earlier on in Penticton. He's coming to get noticed, and I think that's what you want your players to have, that mentality. And every time he's been on the ice, whether it's practice or games, you're paying attention to him. And tonight I thought he was one of the more noticeable guys out there, so it's very nice to see that from him.
And just one last one, that's about the physicality. Obviously there was, you know, some responses from Seattle, but just the way that they kind of stuck up for each other out there too.
Yeah, love that too. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, and you don't see a lot of that anymore, but when it does happen, it's nice that everybody knows that there's five guys always with each other, whether it's including six as your goaltender. It's nice to see that.
That is head coach Ryan Huska following his team's impressive preseason opener, and you heard him talk about Dustin Wolf, who, you know, might have been the most impressive guy on the ice. Definitely one of Calgary's best players, no doubt. 32 stops on 33 shots. Our final look inside the Flames locker room. Let's check out Dustin Wolf after he opened the preseason with a win as well in his old stomping grounds, or just a little further south of his old stomping grounds. Of course, he starred for the Everett Silvertips in the Western Hockey League and picks up a preseason win in Seattle.
Well, just for starters, obviously it's preseason game one, but how did you feel out there?
Felt pretty good. I could feel that there's certainly still some rust there, and that's kind of good to feel. Obviously, we haven't played a game in quite a few months, but to play, we did as a group, and to know there's still some rust, it's very good to build off of.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about, right? Is building your game, and you know, you got to be pleased with just some of the, obviously, see 30 plus shots and kind of feel the puck as much as you did here tonight too.
Yeah, I got into the game real quick. They started to just throw some sifters early on, which kind of got me into it, and our team did a great job of letting me see pucks, and they obviously blocked quite a few towards the end there, and for us to come in, we're a young group tonight, and to come out with a win is pretty exceptional.
I was going to say, maybe just a thought on the group in front of you and how impressive a younger group coming in here like this was.
Yeah, no, they were terrific. Our D-core was rock solid back there the entire night, and they made one good play and ended up in our net, but other than that, I was super pleased with what I saw, and obviously when you win 6-1, it's pretty nice.
Got some family here too to take in tonight's game?
Yeah, they just made a little 45-minute drive from Everett, and it's a good one to come see.
That is Dustin Wolf post-game, 32 stops on 33 shots. Let's get back to the text line at 960-960 before we close it out on the phone lines. Chris and Vernon says, Pat, what'd you see from Gridden tonight? I thought that he struggled with the pace. I thought that he definitely had some moments where the step up from playing in those Young Stars game to now being on the same ice with guys like Matty Beniers and Jared McCann and guys like that, even in the preseason, I think there were definitely some growing pains in that regard. Thought he got a little bit better as the night went along, though. Gridden played 11:59, had one shot attempt. I thought he was one of the guys that really stood out to me in the three games he played at the Young Stars. Thought he was a little bit more, just a little bit less of an impact maker. Didn't really see a ton from him tonight, which is okay. He's an 18-year-old coming from the USHL playing in his first NHL preseason game. But thought that you definitely saw some struggles with the pace of an NHL preseason game with him in his first time. We'll see what happens if he gets into a second preseason game. What else we got here at 960-960? Lots of thoughts on George's phone, which is funny. This says, I'm surprised so little's being said about Poirier. Looked good tonight. Really nice goal. Couple of points. Seems to be over his injury quite nicely. Yeah, I didn't mind Poirier at all. Didn't think he was one of like my big standouts, but had a goal and an assist plus two. I had four shots, two hits. That four giveaway numbers, that's not him actually, so... Oh, actually, that's have four giveaways. Never mind. That four giveaway number, definitely not where you'd like it to be. So that would be an area that, again, the Flames would like to see start to turn a little bit. But I thought he was all right. Didn't really mind Poirier. And definitely that shot that he scored the 4-0 goal in the second period. That shot on the pass from Matt Coronato was outstanding and did not hesitate in the slightest when he let that bad boy go. Buff in Kelowna says, please power rank the D-men after tonight's game. Okay, so there were six that they played with tonight. So I would go Brustevich 1, Grushnikov 2, Pahal 3, Bean 4. Who would I put number 5 amongst defensemen? Perek 5, and then Poirier 6. Even though Poirier scored, that would probably be how I would power rank the defensemen in this game tonight. especially knowing that Buff put me on the spot like that. Well, he did text in like an hour ago, but I didn't read it until right now, so kind of put me on the spot. Dylan and Revy says, got to say Megan's choice of hardest worker was on point tonight. She chose Braden Pahal, by the way. Can't say I take too much from these games, but good sign these young guys can take it to the Kraken's A squad. Flames look dialed, haha. This says, I'm so glad hockey season's back. Go Flames, go. And I'm glad you're back, Patrick. Thank you very much. And finally, Francesca says, we're the number one team in the league, baby. You know what? In the preseason, they are, I don't know. The only question I would have, did Florida win both of their split squad games? I'm quickly checking. Yeah, they did. So I think Florida's actually the top team in the preseason because they played two games today, won them both. So they'd technically be 2-0 in the preseason. Great stuff on the text line. 960-960. It's there for you all season on our Flames Talk postgame show. Now to the phone lines for the final time tonight. Got a few more calls before we wrap things up on our Flames Talk postgame. Saying hello to our buddy Bryce. What's going on, Bryce?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm just glad hockey's back on and we get Flames hockey. That too.
We're back for the next 88 games after this.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah, and then two is the loss of Johnny Goodrow. That was hard to take too when you're seeing all that was going on, and that was emotional too.
That was a real difficult few days, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and it was nice to see the Flames or did that kept the thing outside the Saddle Dome there with all that.
Yeah, and now they've done a really cool thing now to help preserve it as well. Obviously, they have had to, take down a little bit just because the Saddle Dome still has to be used and such. But just a really great thing the Flames are doing in preserving the mm-hmm. tribute to Johnny and Matthew outside, and a lot of different charities being helped as well. So. That was a pretty incredible organic thing the Calgarians did, man.
Yeah, that was awesome. It shows you we care.
Yeah.
No matter X Flames or Flames, we still love them all. That's just what it is, right? And he was one of the best for the Flames, that's for sure.
For sure.
And for his small stature and for how he got around a lot of people and his gypsy doo-doo stuff, it was amazing stuff. I still watch all those goals he's done.
Yeah.
And that was just something that it still bothers that day and tonight's game, they did actually pretty well for the young guys, right? Zane Proc, though, I think that probably he'll get used to it better once because he messed up a few times, but that's normal for a first-year guy. But he looks pretty fast. He looks pretty good.
Like, well, I mean, there's no doubt Parekh has got just a ridiculous amount of talent. Like, his skill level is off the chart. His offensive IQ off the chart. He's got a few things that are already at NHL level. I think his first pass out of the defensive zone and also his ability to, like, his shot and then also his ability to get that shot through traffic. I think all those things are already at NHL level. Now, the defensive side, some of the defensive reads, those types of things, it's going to take some time. Like, there's going to be some more real growing pains, and I think that there's going to need to be, there's just plain and simple, he's going to need to learn how to play the position at the NHL level, and you know, that may not happen, Bryce, this year's training camp. It might take a year or two of him going back to junior, but definitely you saw some real positives even tonight and some real indicators of just how skilled and smart he is.
Yeah, he's quick too. Like, when you think about it, it's like surprising, like just like in a stride, like even how he shoots it. Like, it's they never had something like that in a long time.
Yeah, and honestly, Bryce, he's the number one. He's the best prospect there, or most exciting prospect they've had. And this is subjective, of course. There's some subjectivity to it, but you know, I think for a lot of Flames fans anyway, it's safe to say that probably the most exciting prospect the Flames have had since Matthew Tkachuk was here, and that's saying something, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we just all have to be patient with him because he's sure. Like, and it takes a while until you get, especially in that position, defenseman takes a little longer to understand the position.
Yep.
And another thing, Matt Coronato, do you think he has a good shot at getting a position with the Flames?
Yes, like, I do think he's got a good shot. I do. I think that he has a little bit more of an uphill climb than a few others might, but I still think he's got a good chance, especially if I really do believe that if Coronato has himself a solid camp and another good camp like he had last year, I really do believe the Flames will find a way to get him into the opening night roster. I really do believe that because I think they know how important this player is for their future. And so as a result, I think that if he proves that he should be in the lineup to start the year, they'll do what it takes to make that happen.
Yeah, you should, but yeah, and like tonight, he's got the skills and like that backhand. That was
yeah, that was a heck of a pass.
Like, you would never do that's hard to do on it. Like on the fly, you wouldn't know if the other guys on the other side, you wouldn't know, right? But that was like it was that he's got the skills. That's for sure. He's got like a lot of it, like, and he shows it. It's just that the consistency, I think.
Consistency. I think that he is one of the things that he learned and did very well last year was learning about the pace of the pro game. And I think that's going to be something that he continues to, he'll have to continue to work at. It's just the pace of not just the NHL game, but pro hockey period. But I think he made some massive strides in that area last year even. So, I do think he's got a good chance of making the opening night roster. And if he doesn't make the opening night roster, I think he's got a great chance of being a pretty early season recall. Craig Conroy wants Matt Coronato to be a part of this thing. He understands how important Coronato is for the future of this team. So I think that if the Flames had their way, he would make their life difficult and they would have a tough decision to make at the end of training camp.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll let you go and you have a good one, and glad hockey's back on and glad you're still there, Pat.
Thanks, Bryce. Be well, buddy. Good to hear from you, man.
Yeah, you too.
Take a couple more calls before we wrap things up, including Etchum is with us. What's up, Etchum?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are we doing?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you for taking the call. I'm going to start with Johnny today. There was Calvin. What do you think where we stand compared to last year training camp and preseason as of today?
It's a good question. I think, first of all, I mean, it's probably a little too early to be making comparisons quite yet on, the way things look. But I will say that the pace of practices and the pace of what we've seen at training camp has been really impressive. And so that has stood out. It's only one game into the preseason, so maybe a little early for me to compare preseasons. But I will say the pace of those practices have been higher than I've seen a Flames training camp in quite some time.
No, last year when I spoke to you, actually we talked about we have a lot of young good players now.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to last year, like last year we have veterans, they are gone.
Definitely, there's no doubt they have more, that they're a younger team. There's no doubt they have more higher end prospects at this time than they did last year. No doubt about that. And I think that that's a big reason why there's a lot of excitement around this team going into the regular season, not so much because of potential results or where they might finish in the standings, but more so because they do have more young talent than they've had in quite some time.
Quite a long time, actually.
Yeah.
So we will continue talking. That's why it was in my mind. So we'll talk again.
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. Be well, Etchem. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You be well. And our last call tonight goes to Roger. What's going on, Roger?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Great, actually. I was really excited with the game. I knew they were going to be faster and bigger and prospects and better quality prospects this year. But I didn't expect 6-1, no.
No, I didn't either. Really, that was really good. That was a nice start. And again,
I had him at 3-2, my guess. But.
I think you still have to, you know, take it with grains of salt. It's still the preseason, still the first game of the preseason. It was Seattle's first game. And you know, lots of times you see a team that in their first preseason game, maybe they're not fully with it and stuff. So, I don't think this is an indicator of anything other than, hey, there were some really nice performances from some young Flames players. And that is that's a real positive, Roger, because you're looking for some of these young players to make a real impact this year. And so I thought that was a big time positive. Some of that stuff that we saw, I thought was really good to see.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I was happy to see a guy I'd picked before. Just I sort of like to guess a little bit, you know, and, you know, look into things and hey, who's going to be making that jump this year? And, you know, what's your hunch? And I picked Klapka to be dangerous this year, and he came out just flying. Like, holy crap!
Yeah, nice, you know what I mean? Nice start for Klapka for sure. Couple
he's
of goals
a beast out there.
Yeah,
holy crap! And he's good defensively too. He made some really nice, you know, amazing save on I think I had almost a breakaway on him. Came back and took it away.
Yeah, well, I mean, Klapka's going to be one of those guys that in a position to get some NHL time this year. No guarantee that he'll start with the big team, but I think that he'll at the very least have the opportunity to, I think that he'll have a good chance of being one of those guys that could get a recall at some point. So
exactly. I like his eye the tiger attitude. I mean, that guy, you listen to him talk, he's just desperate. He wants to go. He wants to win. And he wants to play all out. His whole life is, you know, make the NHL. That's it. You know, he's got the right attitude anyway. So I like him.
Yeah, he's a tough guy not to like. I agree.
I wouldn't bet against him, put it that way.
No, I can get behind that.
Yeah, and then Coronado was really good tonight too. I mean, he made some nice plays. He looks like he's got a little bit more confidence, you know, last time I seen him.
Yeah, probably, if you ask me, probably their best skater tonight was Coronado. I thought he looked really good.
Yeah, I agree there, sure. And how about Hanzik? I've never actually seen the guy play. I mean, I've heard about him. I've done some research on him, but I've never seen much of him, you know. But I know he struggled because he got injured, abdominal injury last year.
Yeah, last year was definitely a frustrating year for him because of the injuries more than anything else. And just wasn't a great first year in the organization for him. But you know, sometimes that happens. People don't, players don't always develop at a linear rate, right? And so
I know. Some guys take 3 years, 4 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it depends on the guy.
Yeah. But I noticed he was working out with Pospisil.
Yes.
Pospisil is another Eye of the Tiger player. I mean, plays all out, you know? Doesn't take nothing for granted. It's like, I better win a job tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Every night.
Yep.
Those
agree.
Are the guys that are going to win hockey games for you. Hungry. You know what I mean? That's what I believe in. And, you stay on the edge and play hungry, super hard, super hungry. You know what I mean? Then yep. You're dangerous out there. You know,
not bad qualities to have for a team that is, you know, kind of going in a different direction here. So, all things considered,
exactly.
Roger, a good start.
Excited, yeah. I'm super excited. I mean, I know the experts picked him at 31. I was laughing when I heard that. I mean, we got so many young, hungry players, fast and super talented, like Prek. And I think that Brzdavich guy is underrated, too. Like, he's very good defensively, and he's got some moves and a lot of skill. So, I don't know. I'm thinking he's making the AHL for sure. But
yeah, I think he'll be.
Maybe even the NHL.
I think probably the AHL is where we see Brzdavich start, but it wouldn't be, and that's not to say that that's a guarantee. But I think even if he does start in the American League, and there's a decent chance for him to get some sort of a recall at some point this year, which would be pretty nice to see, pretty neat to see as well.
Yeah, so there's just one other player I was thinking to mention too. So all the standouts I got listed here. Wolfie was good tonight too, of course.
Yes.
But I was really impressed with almost everybody, actually, to ask you. They were all skating hard. I mean, Stromgren's and a dark horse. I think that guy could be pretty dangerous. You know what I mean? There's so many good players we got. It's almost you know what I mean? If they take the next step, we're a way better hockey club this year.
Yeah, and it might not happen this year, Roger. That next step might take a year or two. But I think if you're a Flames fan and knowing that it has been kind of the same old story for as long as it's been, I think it's pretty exciting.
I've been following him 32 years. I mean, I've never seen him have this many prospects in my life.
Yeah, it's been. They definitely have added to their group. There's no doubt. Now now we'll see how long it takes for them to get where they want to go. So I appreciate the call, Roger.
I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but yeah, thanks for. I agree with you guys though. What you're saying tonight, it was the right guys. You know, waking up and wow, I'm pretty excited.
Good stuff, man. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Thanks, Rog. Okay. Be well.
Okay. Yeah. Bye. Yeah.
And that will wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Great stuff. Thank you so much. Hey, preseason game number one on a Sunday night. Getting all kinds of phone calls. I like it. Flames Talk postgame starting to wrap up on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Appreciate all the texts. Appreciate all the phone calls. And now time for your final summary on this, what is it, Sunday night, now into a Monday morning as we're talking right now. Flames really never were in danger of losing this one. A young lineup, a lineup kind of short on a ton of NHL experience, but they played hard and they come away with a 6-1 win. They opened up a 3-0 first period lead with Clark Bishop getting the Flames on the board with his first of the preseason at a minute 58 of the first period. Bishop from Jake Bean to make it 1-0. That was followed by Matt Coronato's first of the preseason at 7:02. Dryden Hunt and Braden Pahal, the assists on that. Then the 3-0 goal off the stick of Adam Klapka, his first. Klapka from Bishop and Sam Honzek at 11:47 to make it 3-0 Calgary after 20 minutes of play. In the second period, Jeremy Poirier would make it 4-0 Flames with his first of the preseason. Poirier from Coronato and Hunter Brzdavich at 12:10. 4-0 Flames after 40 minutes of play. Seattle gets one back early in the third on Nathan Villeneuve's first of the preseason. Oliver Bjorkstrand and Josh Mahura the assists at 3:59, but the Flames retake their four-goal lead at 9:35. Klapka again, his second from Honzek and Poirier at 9:35, and just over 2 minutes later, Flames really turn this into a runaway with Martin Ferk making it 6-1. Ferk's first of the preseason from Coronato and Brzdavich at 11:39 to get us to our 6-1 final score. Final shots, 33-28 in favor of Seattle. Calgary 0-3 on the power play tonight. Seattle 0-6 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight in the building. Number three, Dustin Wolf. Number two, Adam Klapka. And with a goal and 3 points, Matt Coronato, your number one star tonight. Your hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson was Braden Pahal. With the win, Calgary improves their preseason record to 1-0-0. They're back in action tomorrow for a pair of games Monday against the Edmonton Oilers. Seattle drops to 0-1-0. They're back in action in the preseason Tuesday against the Vancouver Canucks. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our co-host Maddie Rose, and for our outstanding producers Azam Ali Nanji and Connor Gronsdahl, my name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on your Flames Talk Postgame Show, available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Yes, next up, it is the Flames and Oilers Split Squad Battle of Alberta on Monday night. We'll cover the game for you from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. 7 o'clock face-off, 6 o'clock warm-up here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Have yourself a great rest of your Sunday, and have yourself a great rest of your week and a great week ahead. Your final score from Seattle. The Flames open the preseason with a 6-1 win over the Seattle Kraken. This has been your Flames Talk postgame show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey for the first time this season on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.